I'm Ray Dunaway along with Joe D'Ambrosio. And I guess it's time for another episode of Meet the Candidates.
Yeah, exactly. We have invited all four mayoral candidates in the city of Hartford to join us. Two have accepted so far. And the first one to step up to plate is J. Stan McCauley, who will be running for mayor. Good morning. Thanks for coming in. How are you?
I'm doing exceedingly well. Thanks for the invitation.
We feel underdressed with you. You are always dapper.
You look good.
Well, you know, I was going to wear like all this, like, you know, like polo shorts, shirt, flip-flops. But I said, you know, you got to look at least halfway mayoral.
Well, you do.
Even though it's radio.
You do. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Third time that you have run for mayor in your adopted city. What is it about the position that intrigues you?
I'm an executive, and I have like a low tolerance for mismanagement and incompetence. So,
but in the position as mayor, is there much you can do about that?
There's a lot you can do about it if you're like being on purpose to make sure things run right. And as a constituent, it's one thing to complain. But I've always adopted the age-old adage, don't complain about something you're not willing to put your hands to try and fix. So I consider myself a constituent representative, and I'm just very displeased with what I see happening with our government.
What have you learned in your first two runs for the position that you can use to your advantage to, in your case, hopefully get the office this time?
The biggest thing I learned is it's not about my vision. And I think it's counterproductive. Everybody says, well, what's your vision? I says, my vision is your vision. And people think I'm actually joking with them.
Right.
But I've had the pleasure of being behind the camera and, you know, covering all kinds of events in and around Hartford, Connecticut for 37 years. So I've had opportunity to hear people and to listen to people, whether it's Board of Education meetings, lots of people. I've become a confidant for at least half of Hartford. Keeper of great secrets, things you wish you didn't hear and didn't know.
Right.
And what I've come to learn is that Hartford is a city where people have so many great ideas, but the problem is that when they take them somewhere, they wind up facing, it didn't originate here. I'll either take your idea or put your idea on the shelf. And so, you know, it's not really about my vision. Government should not be about my vision. Government should be about how do I make this thing function in a way that's going to serve the constituents, not the elected officials. And as I like to tell people, you know, it's not the Republicans' government. It's not the Democrats' government. It's your government. It's, you know, it's the people's government. Yeah. So
do people have a hard time understanding that?
You know, actually, they don't. I think they're shocked to hear. They may be in disbelief that I'm actually I guess by definition, a politician that's articulating that. But, I think that America and most certainly the region feels that way. But I think they feel as though they're helpless. There's nothing they can do.
I would agree.
And I shout out, there's everything you can do. If you go and put your name on the ballot, you're making a difference right there.
Right.
You got to move beyond just talking about it.
You know, and one of the things, in fact, you know, before we go any further, tell us about you. You grew up in what, suburban Philadelphia, so to speak?
Outside of Philadelphia, Bucks County, Pearl S. Buck house was probably about 3 miles from where we live. And I grew up at a time when the mighty Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers, ruled the world. And so even though we were like 45 to 60 miles outside of Philly when they won the second Stanley Cup, no one was at school. And so, I'm, as they like to say in Hartford, you know, the black and brown, that's code word for African-American Latino. Even black kids were out of school for hockey, and we all played street hockey. I mean, it was the biggest thing on the planet.
No kidding.
Oh yeah.
So and what happened? You could have been a pro. All right.
And now you're in, and you've made your bones in the world of television, but not in front of the camera, like some of us who shouldn't be in front of the camera.
I'm behind the camera, in front of the camera. I did long form gospel programming for about 37 years in Hartford as well, and then I'm behind the camera. Running an online television network, and before that, I designed and ran the public access station for the city of Hartford.
Oh, wow!
Well, you know, the one thing, and you and I were talking off the air about this, is I think there's a feeling amongst a lot of people in the city itself who feel like it's all about downtown. It's all about, you know, Front Street. It's all, they're going to have the Big Mo coming up this weekend over at the Colt Building complex. You know, but it's all about that. And the people in the neighborhoods kind of feel left out. Is that a feeling that you sense?
Oh, it's palatable. You know, there's what we refer to as, there's two Hartfords, but in reality, there's three. There's the Hartford that probably, I'll break the cardinal rule and mention candidates' names that you're never supposed to do. There's the Hartford that, generally speaking, the current mayor represents.
Okay.
And then there's the Hartford that the previous mayor that's running represents. And both are popular because they represent different aspects of the two Hartfords.
Yes.
The third Hartford's the one where people come in, they work, they play, they go to the Yard Goats games, they go to all the events. So it's a lot like going on a cruise.
Yeah.
You know, you get off the cruise ship, everything's really cool. But, you know, if you go into the community, the beaches are not nice.
Not so
much.
They're
not pristine. And Hartford's like that.
J. Stan McCauley is with us. We'll talk about his five-point plan and what his first things would be to do if he is elected mayor of Hartford in November.
And with us, Joe, is
J. Stan McCauley, who is running for mayor of the city of Hartford. Now, you are not involved next week because you are running as a Republican. You are endorsed by the Republican town committee, even though you are a Democrat. Is that uncomfortable at all?
No. No. I don't think there are any elected Republicans in office in Hartford.
Yes, I think you're right.
And I would contend, as much as people would like to believe that it isn't, that there are a whole lot of actual Republicans that are Democrats, because in Hartford, it's a one-party town. You cannot vote in what many consider the main election, which is the primary, if you're not a registered Republican. You know, Democrat.
Right.
I am a Democrat. For many years, I was independent because of, you know, my broadcasting. In 2007, I ran as a Republican, but I've been a Democrat since 2008.
Right.
And the Republicans came across party lines and endorsed me. They, you know, they liked my plan and they made sure I was on the ticket. So I will be on the ticket November the 5th, but I am not in the primary.
It's been 48 years since a Republican was voted. Ann Jucello was the last Republican.
She was?
In Hartford, 1971.
Back when I was in college, for God's sake.
Well, I wasn't even born yet. No, it's
not true.
It's a little bit of a lie. Yeah, sure. After her, George Atkinson, Mayor Milner, Kerry Saxon-Perry, our friend Mike Peters, Eddie Perez, Pedro Zegarra, and now Mayor Bronin.
Well, I think Mike was barely a traditional. I mean, he was, but he wasn't.
Yeah, he was different.
Yeah.
Your five-point plan is something that you've talked about a lot. If you go to your website, www.mcauleyformayor.com, it spells it out in depth. All those 5 points are important, Stan, but if there's one that you think needs to be more at the forefront if you win the election and take over, what would that be?
You know, I all that in me wants to say youth and education, but if I had to put one first, it would be communication, because the city does not communicate. Hartford is a city of silos, and so you have all these silos. Everyone's their own fiefdom, and so if you think, you know, Connecticut is a fiefdom, you know, 169 towns, it's manifested also on the local level within those individual municipalities. So Hartford has government agencies that don't communicate. Yeah. So, for example, in the summertime, you know, the default entity that you would think would have the most information about the, you know, the city's children would be the, you know, Board of Education. You got, you know, 20,000 kids every day.
Right.
But no one talks to them in the summertime when you're trying to figure out what to do for youth.
Right.
And so we hodgepodge things because no one wants to communicate with anybody because it's outside their fiefdom. So there has to be meaningful, on purpose communication across city departments and beyond that throughout the city, so that everybody's on the same page, moving in the same direction.
Well, I think let's go back to something you just meant, and that was the whole silos. But I think it's very difficult. You know, there's a lot of, in environmental terms, old growth forest around here.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's got their turf. They're protecting their turf. And a lot of times it's hard to get them to sign on to an idea of any kind.
Well, that's true. If you're talking about perhaps, you know, two nonprofit agencies working together, but, you know, leadership can make that happen. But when it comes to government, I mean, yeah, I'm old-fashioned. You know, you work at the pleasure of the mayor. This is not a debate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to listen to perhaps what you have to right. say as a professional, but we're all going to be on the same page. People are going to be held accountable. There are no royal families which will protect and wings to shadow down over you.
Right. The
luxury of having been in the very unique position of being around for 37 years is that I've taped every meeting. I know a whole lot, and I will be very purposeful and intentional on selecting a team and a staff that knows where the bones are buried in Harvard. So we will have very little trouble moving the agenda of the people forward, not my agenda, but the people's agenda forward.
There seems to be only one thing that people in Hartford at the state capitol agree on. That's that they don't want to help Hartford. Seems like every time something with the city comes up, well, we can't help Hartford. We've given them a lot of help. As mayor, what would you try to do to facilitate state legislators feeling more conducive to helping Hartford?
For one thing, Hartford's got to grow up. It's got to become mature and responsible for its own well-being. And it's like the petulant child that keeps coming back home asking for, you know, a new car every time they run their
run the other one
off the road. You know, the current administration would like to say that they bailed the city out, you know, it's the, you know, their Rhodes Scholar acumen. But the fact of the matter is that the 168 towns bailed Hartford out. $50 million a year didn't come from the campaign trust. It came from the taxpayers around the state. So people have a right to be angry, a right to be venomous when it comes to how much more money does Hartford need.
Stan, part of the problem is you're the man you would replace, Luke Bronin, but either those before him, is the whole payment in lieu of taxes. And there's a lot of property that's off the tax rolls, and the state's supposed to reimburse the city for that, which I guess they do. But that's a real problem. There's a lot of, that's why property taxes are high. It's rough.
It is rough. You know, estimates are between $50, $60 million a year. The fact of the matter is, if Hartford were given what it was due, it actually would have come up to about $550 million. My problem is that if Hartford is in the economic distress, which it is in, and it actually is in very, very terrible financial shape. But having said that, if Hartford is in that kind of shape, then let's talk about Hartford being responsible. Let's talk about a path to Hartford's fiscal sovereignty by giving Hartford 100% of payment in lieu of taxes and then holding Hartford accountable for the money that it has and right that ship with minimal financial oversight. As opposed to what has happened with the municipal review board that oversees every expenditure that Hartford has, you know, with an exception of $100,000.
Do you see yourself, and I think I know the answer to this, but I want to hear you say it. Do you see yourself as somebody who can bring all the different factions in the city together?
Certainly. Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
The South End, the North End. I mean,
South End, North End. The chosen families that actually run the city, to the sycophants. If you name it, I know them and I know their deep secrets. So yeah, I can bring the city
blackmail.
Together.
Interesting.
No, not blackmail.
You know how to work with.
Yeah. We know how to work with them. Common interests. It's not to threaten, but to align people because we have common interests and mutual benefit. It mutually benefits everybody to work together to move the city out of where it is.
The website is www.macaulayformayor.com. J. Stan McCauley, thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Thanks.
Good luck in November.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.